Thank you for coming to the podcast. Please listen, leave a like, and write a comment. If you can tell me where you're listening from, I'd enjoy hearing that. Or if you have any other question, please put it down in the comments and I'll get back with you. Again, thanks for coming here. Hope you enjoy it. Hope it's helpful to you.
Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, printed there for you in your worship guide. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women went and took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. There was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. It's not printed for you there, but the word of the Lord. Thanks indeed. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you for this account of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We pray, Jesus, that you would preach this word to us, that you would work by your Spirit, that you would enable us to see and know you better and cause our hearts to learn and to desire to walk in your ways. Teach us of you, open our eyes, open our ears, that we might walk to glorify you. We pray that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The disciples kind of don't have it together here when Jesus dies. They don't know what to do. We saw that in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're running all over the place, and Peter cuts off a high priest slave's ear there, and they're in disarray. So the question may be, how do we rise from this to having Christianity exist today? If you don't have a well laid out plan for things, things disappear pretty quickly. And so you see here, as we look at our gospel lesson this morning, we're asking the question, as is in the title there, why is Christianity still around? 2,000 years later, why is it still around? The first question can be this, and if you like to fill out blanks in an outline, you're welcome to do that. That helps you follow along and stay engaged. First of all, God says to us through this passage and makes us aware that Jesus, that's your blank, Jesus is the center and reason for Christianity. Jesus is the reason, the center for Christianity. He's the reason people are Christians. That's something true about Christianity that's kind of different than other religions. The reason people are Christians are because of Jesus. And we see that all through these 12 verses here. We see that Christianity is surrounded around Jesus in Revelation 5 as well. We looked at that a few weeks ago and saw Jesus, ascension up to heaven, and he arrives in heaven, and all heaven surrounds him and gives him praise. Jesus is the center of attention. As you look down through this passage there, and as you can see it there in your bulletin, you see that Jesus is the center of attention with the women. The women are taking these spices and are designed to help Jesus' dead body there preserve well. The two men and the angels, we find out, are all about Jesus and talking about him. The disciples are about Jesus. They're gathered together and they're wondering about him. Peter, when he finds out that the body of Jesus is not there, he goes to find out where is Jesus. And so he runs a couple of times, it looks like, back to the tomb. Christianity is all centered around Jesus, and we see that on Resurrection Day, Easter Day. That is, Christianity is not a life philosophy. If it were, maybe there wouldn't be this care about Jesus, right? The disciples weren't there saying, well, Jesus is dead, but we have his philosophy with us, his way of living with us. No, the center of attention is Jesus himself. What he said and his teaching is all in the background. And sure, he taught very good things for us to live by and to follow for a blessed life, but that's not why we're in Christianity, because it has a good way of life or a good way of living. These disciples are not sitting around talking about what they learned while Jesus was alive. They're not saying, yeah, he's dead, but let's talk about what we learned from him. That's not what's going on this day 2,000 years ago. In Christianity, things don't center around the teaching about how to live, though God gives directives about that. In Buddhism and many other religions, that's primarily it. The religion's about how to live, how to handle this circumstance or that circumstance, or maybe get a little bit of good and a little bit of evil and it'll balance out. It's not about a person, a figure. Christianity's different this way. With Christianity, what we see is that the ones closest to Jesus were not sitting around talking about the philosophy he had left them. They were not excited about his teaching. We see here that Christianity is about Jesus and that his followers were not concerned about what they had been taught. They were mourning about the one they had lost. They were Christians because of Jesus, not because Jesus was proclaiming something they liked, though they liked it. But they're mourning Jesus. He's the center here. It's not a way of life. It's not a way of thinking that they're excited about. They're distraught that he was gone on this day. They were thinking about him. The tomb was empty. The women were looking for Jesus. Not content. We're not thinking about some philosophy. When Peter learns that the tomb is empty, he runs and goes there and he looks for Jesus. It's Jesus he wants to see. It's Jesus he wants to know about. Jesus is the center and the reason for Christianity. Jesus was the reason the disciples were around him. Now, if you look at the front of the Gospel of Luke, you read that Luke was writing to a man named Theophilus. That's a Roman name. Theophilus was a Roman. He's also called Most Excellent Theophilus. And Most Excellent was a title for a government employee, someone who was governing. So this was a Roman governor that Luke writes his gospel for. And Luke shows this to Theophilus here. It's always appropriate for us to ask when we're reading Luke or the book of Acts, which Luke wrote as his part two that you see at the front of Acts. What was Luke showing this Roman governor? And so we see here with point one, Luke was showing this Roman governor in about AD 60, 30 years later, 38 years after the resurrection, that all this hubbub in Christianity, that Paul, sitting in that Roman prison, as Luke writes this to Theophilus, was there because of Jesus. People weren't devoted to a philosophy. They were devoted to Jesus from the get-go. Of Jesus being gone. The reason Christianity exists is because of this one named Jesus who had lived 30 years prior to Luke writing this. So Christianity is about Jesus, and Christians are Christians because of Jesus. But now a slightly different question in number two. Look at number two there. We ask, why is Christianity still around today? Why is Christianity still around today? Now, there are a number of things that Luke shows Theophilus to explain him why Christianity made it past AD 30. Why did it not simply die out? We can ask the same question. Why didn't it simply die out with the people who knew Jesus? Right? If you have a grandfather who's really old and he's talking about someone who was around when he was 30 years old, you don't care. You don't risk your life for that. If Christianity is just about Jesus, why was it still around in AD 60, 30 years later? Why is it around today with people who didn't hear him talk and see him enter into Jerusalem on a donkey or see him teaching by the Sea of Galilee? Why is it still around? Why didn't it simply die with the people who had personally spoken with Jesus while he was alive on earth for those 3 or 4 years where he ministered? Luke explains to Theophilus why Christianity was still around in AD 60 as he wrote this gospel. And it's an explanation for us as well in our day. Luke shows, first of all, a couple of things that should have resulted in Christianity never getting off the ground, never making it to AD 31. Luke shows us two things that show us that Christianity shouldn't be around today. The first reason Luke shows us why Christianity shouldn't be around today is this, A, in your outline there. There was no pre-cross plan, no pre-cross plan that Jesus had organized and set in place before his death. No pre-cross plan. And Luke had shown that through his gospel. And even if you hadn't read his gospel up to this point, you see that that's the case. Jesus dies and his disciples don't say, okay, plan's ready, let's go. You do the Thomas, you do this. James, you do this. John, you do this. There's no plan. They're just simply in disarray. Jesus didn't set them off with a plan for when he died. And we can see that in verse 1 and 3 and 5 and 6 and 9 through 12. That is, as you look through that passage, the women aren't waiting for Jesus to show up alive to lead them onward. The women are looking for the body of Jesus, and they see that it's not there. The women have to be told by two angels that Jesus is living. And they have to be kind of scolded for not believing because Jesus had said that he would rise from the dead. The disciples aren't expecting Jesus' resurrection either. When the women get back to them, they keep disbelieving. Say, oh, that just sounds like crazy talk. When the women get back to them, this is surprising news to the disciples. You see, Jesus didn't set them off with a plan saying, okay, I'm going to die. Now, when I die, you need to get yourselves together and start proclaiming me to other people and spreading this message. They don't have that plan. They don't know what to do. They're surprised. They're jerked out of sync. We see Peter shocked, and he runs to the tomb to check it out. It looks like twice. Even when he sees that the grave is empty and the grave clothes have been set aside, he doesn't connect the dots. He doesn't say, Jesus proclaimed this to us, that he would rise again. We see the last thing, verse 12 there. He was wondering, what's happened? What's gone on? Who took the body? Where is Jesus' body now? Luke says, in other words, Theophilus, the spreading of Christianity that you have seen for 30 years, that brings Paul before you in the Roman court right now as he sits in prison, was not a laid out plan that Jesus set before his disciples that they got to when he was crucified. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, those who loved them were clueless, directionless, stunned and knowing not what to do when Jesus died. There was no game plan. There was nothing in them or in their heads which would make Christianity exist today, that Easter Sunday. Now, a second reason Christianity shouldn't have existed in 60 AD or exist today. So first of all, there's no pre-cross game plan that Jesus had given his disciples for the spreading of Christianity around the world. But secondly, Christianity did not get its start by an orchestrated plan of the post-cross disciples regarding a dead Jesus. So again, thinking about if Christianity were just a philosophy, these are not excited disciples of a philosopher who say, okay, now Jesus is dead. How do we spread this great philosophy that he's given to us? And they're there and they're deciding on a plan. No, this is all disarray. This is all events that they did not expect. The disciples weren't there organizing a launch for a new religion from the teachings of its now dead but legendary founder. They weren't establishing a memorial fund or a scholarship with his name on it to honor him. They weren't doing anything. They were disorganized and confused. So Jesus hadn't given them a game plan, and they weren't working on a game plan. They weren't expecting Christianity to be spread or anyone else to believe it. They were just mourning and in grief that the one they loved was dead. So those are two things that should have killed Christianity before it started. We see no reason here, no game plan, no intent among Jesus' 11 disciples and those who were with the women there to spread Christianity. Christianity should not have made it to AD 60, nor to our day. Now see, Christianity is around today because to the surprise of his followers, Jesus rose from the dead. To the surprise of his followers, Jesus rose from the dead and his followers interacted with him. Now note here, the disciples aren't just being told that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, when they're just told that, you know, even Peter goes back and he's still wondering what had happened. But what happens instead is they interact with him. We find out from Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus had particularly appeared to Peter. And the two disciples on the road to Emmaus know that this has occurred already. So Jesus appears to Peter and he tells, I have seen Jesus too, and I've talked with him. And then these disciples go and they're heading out from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a small town near Jerusalem. And they tell Jesus, who they don't know is Jesus yet, that he has appeared to Simon, Peter's proper name, and to these women. So Christianity is around today because Jesus rose from the dead and his followers interacted with him. And that's what we see in the rest of the Gospel of Luke. If you pick up from chapter 13 through the end of the chapter, it's Jesus appearing to his disciples and talking to them. First of all, scolding them, saying, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything that is written about me must be fulfilled. It's written about me in Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now, D. Christianity's around today not because of a plan Jesus orchestrated before he died so they'd know what to do even though he was in the grave. It's not around because they devised a plan. It's around because they saw Jesus and they talked to him after Good Friday. Now, D. Christianity is around because those who saw Jesus alive after his death on Good Friday told others that they had interacted with him, risen from the dead. And this is all what the book of Acts is about. The disciples telling people, we saw him risen from the dead. There's a slide, Andrew, if you'll just forward that for us. It's up here out of a bigger bigger set of slides here. This is so I went through the book of Acts when I was teaching a class on Acts and Paul a little while ago. And through, you know, you have all these sermons in the book of Acts. And so I mapped it out, the topics addressed in the book of Acts in the sermons. So what were the apostles talking about as they gave sermons about Jesus from Acts 2 through Acts 28? And I won't give you the exhaustive list here because that's not our purpose here. But the chief thing they talk about, you see it there. Number one, resurrection. 16 times in their preaching, they talk about the resurrection. And it's kind of 23, because if you look down at number 5, they talk about, we're proclaiming to you what we have seen. And so if you include those 7 times where that phraseology, we're proclaiming to you what we have seen as we saw the resurrected Jesus, that number of 16 pops up to 23 there. So this is the chief thing that they're talking about as they're preaching. What's unique, what's special about Christianity, we saw Jesus raised from the dead. Now notice the things that are less prominent. Number 2, talk of Jesus being king, a son of David, and having a kingdom. That's the number 2 thing they talk about in their sermons in the book of Acts. Number 3, Savior and salvation. If you were just coming out of American evangelicalism today, you would say that's the first thing. You'd think they were going around and saying, y'all need to get saved. Right? That's the way we talk. But their chief thing in their preaching was Jesus has been raised from the dead and I saw him and interacted with him. Number 4, they didn't read Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. When they preached to the Jews, they said, you crucified him. That's the number 4 thing they talk about in the sermons in the book of Acts. Number 5, as I mentioned before, they talk about what we proclaim to you is what we have seen. Number 6, they talk about Jesus having fulfilled the Old Testament expectations of a new king, a new son of David, who would be over God's people. Number 7, forgiveness. That might be a surprise to you too. They only mentioned 7 times the idea of forgiveness. It's not that you don't get forgiven when you believe in Jesus. But just note, the news, the thing they talked about, the thing they were unapologetic about, the thing that they said, this is of first and greatest importance, is the resurrection. Now there are 13 things in all, but I didn't put those all. If you want those, I'll send them to you. Email me. Okay, you can go to the next slide, Andrew, and just leave it on that next slide there. So they went around and told people. That's the chief preaching of the book of Acts, the resurrection. They didn't go around saying, you know, he taught these great things and he did these great miracles. You should follow him. The chief thing they said was Jesus was raised from the dead. And they recorded these books that made them look like fools. Right? All 4 Gospels make them look like fools. All 4 Gospels show that the disciples were unfaithful. All 4 Gospels show Jesus saying, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and I will be turned over into the hands of sinful men, be turned over to the Romans, will be crucified, and will be raised on the 3rd day. And in their Gospels, Mark written from the perspective of Peter, Matthew being a disciple himself, Luke collecting all the news from all the disciples he was with, and Luke was a companion of Paul, and then John being one of the disciples, they're the one who went to the cross next to Jesus' mother and the other women who were with her. They all proclaim, we didn't get it. We all got surprised. And we don't care if we look foolish. What we want you to know is this. The reason we looked foolish is we didn't believe Jesus would rise from the dead. And then he did. And even when we did, we weren't sure. And Thomas, we all told him, 11 of us telling him, on top of what the women had reported a couple of times, telling him, we saw him, he was here. And he didn't believe. He had to put his hand in Jesus' side and put his finger in Jesus' wrist before he believed. And so the disciples don't care much about themselves. They don't care about a philosophy. They care about proclaiming this news that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, So Christianity is around today because the people who saw him after Good Friday alive, who talked with him, who touched him, who ate with him, told about him. And then Christianity is around today because people who interacted with the resurrected Jesus refused to say he hadn't risen. They refused to say he hadn't risen. Even when they knew persistence in saying this would cost them imprisonment and death. This is the chief thing they're saying. And it causes them to get stoned, to get whipped, flogged, to be imprisoned, and to die. And they won't quit saying it. It's like, you know, if you're old enough or you've seen it, you remember when Roots came on in the late 70s. And if you're a little kid like me, maybe your parents allowed you to stay up and watch it too. And the first one in Roots, Alex Haley's book, Roots, is Kunta Kinte, played by LeVar Burton. That's how LeVar Burton became famous before reading Rainbow. He is famous for his role as Kunta Kinte. And one thing Kunta Kinte kept getting whipped and beaten over was that he refused to be called Toby, his new given name. He said, my name is Kunta Kinte, even though it caused him to be whipped. But for these Christians, they were facing the same kind of thing. Abuse, being disowned by their own families, disowned by their Jewish friends, by their Roman friends. It caused them to be imprisoned. And so all these references here that you see, Acts 4, Acts 5, Acts 7, Acts 12, Acts 16, Acts 21, Acts 23, Acts 28, are all instances of God's people, these apostles and these testifiers of Jesus, getting imprisoned and whipped and abused. Peter, John, Stephen, and James, the brother of the apostle John, and the apostle himself, and an apostle himself, Paul and Silas, are all imprisoned. Stephen is put to death in Acts 7. James, the brother of the apostle John, is killed in Acts chapter 12. Peter and John are put in jail. Paul is put in jail in many instances. But all they had to do was say, okay, we take it back. But they wouldn't. They said, I saw him. You can do whatever to me you want to do. But I saw Jesus, and he spoke to me. Even Paul, referring to his talking to Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, speaks of it in 1 Corinthians 15 and says, I saw Jesus as one untimely born. He spoke to me on that road. So that explains why Christianity is around today. Not because Jesus had instructed his disciples before he went to the cross on the steps they needed to take to start a new religion. Not because the disciples of Jesus, after Good Friday, organized a good game plan to start a new religion. Christianity, rather, started and continued to this day because Jesus rose from the dead and people refused to say they hadn't seen it because they had. People saw him, interacted with him, and they told others, even when they knew telling others might cost them their lives. So that's how it got started and how it survived. But why should a person be a Christian today? And that's number three. Why should a person be a Christian today? A person should be a part of Christianity and follow and worship Jesus. A person should be a part of Christianity, a part of the church, and follow and worship Jesus because, A, Jesus wasn't, as my dad used to say, a lucky son of a gun. He wasn't a lucky son of a gun, surprised to wake up alive. I recently watched a BBC show on War and Peace. So I'm not going to lie to you, I haven't read the novel. War and Peace is the largest novel there is. I think Moby Dick is second. It's by Leo Tolstoy. And so I watched this, I don't know, 6 or 8 point series. I've got a filter called, what's it called? VidAngel that filters stuff. You might want to watch it filtered if you watch it. But there's a character in there named Andre. And Andre is a soldier in the Russian army, and it's during the days of Napoleon. So Napoleon keeps coming into Russia and trying to conquer the land. And Andre goes out, and he's worked his way up in the Russian army, but he doesn't like just being at the back commanding troops to go out. So Andre goes out with the troops, and he fights. And one of the early battles he has with Napoleon, as he's running forward, he's grabbed the flag, the Russian flag, and he's running forward with the Russian flag. He's stabbed by a French soldier in the side, and he collapses. And it's a big stab. It goes right through his gut in the side. And he's there lying dead. Or so you think. And then a scene occurs a little bit later, and it shows him lying dead there on the battlefield. And Napoleon himself comes up next to him and recognizes him as having been an officer and says, "What a waste." But you see Andre's eyes open up and he's just succumbed to all the pain, but he survives that. That's not what happened with Jesus. He's not a lucky son of a gun who happens to survive a battle. But in contrast, Jesus knew he would be crucified in Jerusalem, and he knew that he would rise from the dead. And here the angels mention this in verses 6 and 7. They say, you know, Jesus told you this. And then those other references there, 9:22, 44, 12:50, 17:25, 18:31 through 33, and then 24, Jesus references it. Where Jesus is telling his disciples that this would happen. So Jesus wasn't surprised like Andre and War and Peace to be injured in battle or killed. He knew he would be dead, and he told his disciples, and he knew he would rise from the dead. And so why should a person be part of Christianity? Why should they worship Jesus? Because, see, no one does this. No one knows their future. No one gets dead and rises. But Jesus did. And D, Jesus could know what would happen. He could know what would happen. And Jesus could rise from the dead because he isn't merely a human. Jesus is God. He knew the orchestration of his Father's plan. He knew exactly why he had come and what would happen and when it would happen. He knew that he was returning to the Father. And the Gospel of John is all filled with that, of Jesus talking about, "And I will go back to my Father from whom I've come." Jesus knew this because he's God himself. Because he knows the sovereign plan of history, including what would happen to him. Jesus was and is sovereign God who came to earth with a plan and executed it to the microscopic detail. So number one, you know, there's a funny scene in one of my favorite movies, which my girls hated, but now they like. Tessa and Mallory love this movie. It's Pee-wee's Big Adventure. My dad loved this movie as well. It came out in 1985. Like my senior year of high school or right as I went into college, that was 1985. And there's this scene, Pee-wee Herman likes his bike, and he's really proud of his bike, and so he's riding along through the park, and he sees these BMX guys, and they're doing all these tricks on their BMX bikes, balancing on one wheel and spinning their bike around, and Pee-wee gets kind of upset because his bike isn't getting the glory that it deserves. And he isn't getting the glory as a bike rider that he deserves. Now, Pee-wee has kind of like a grandma bike out there with a basket on it and a little horn that he can toot. But Pee-wee decides to show off, and so he puts his feet up on the railing, and he's all proud of himself, like Pee-wee's proud of himself. And then he gets out on the road, and it's that road that gets used in all the Hollywood movies, like in Father of the Bride and all that kind of thing, with the trees that hang over and all that. He's riding down that road, and he sees this group of kids in a front yard with their bikes, and so he wants to show off in front of this group of kids with their bikes. And so he's putting his feet here and there, and he puts his feet clear off to the side, and he's riding along, and then he loses his balance. And you see him losing his balance, and then the next shot shows him falling off, hitting the curb, falling off his bike, tumbling over the sidewalk, and into this front yard, into the grass, in front of these kids with the bikes who are now watching him show off. And so he stands up from the grass and gets the grass off his front, and he said, I meant to do that. Pee-wee didn't mean to do that, but Jesus did. He came to earth to die. He said on a couple of occasions why he came to earth to die. And it was this. So number one, there for you, he meant to die. Number two, he died to give eternal life to all his followers. That's why Jesus comes, to give eternal life to all his followers. So John 3:16, you probably know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God the Father gave Jesus to this earth that we who believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus spoke about why he came in Mark 10:45. He said, I came to give my life as a ransom for many. And he said on the occasion in Luke 19, after he had eaten with Zacchaeus that meal, he said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as we considered at our Good Friday service, Jesus came to drink the cup of God's wrath. Jesus came to give us eternal life, but we couldn't have eternal life because what we had instead facing us was God's wrath for all the sins we had committed, for all our ungratefulness to him. And so Jesus came to this earth to give his life as a ransom for us, to seek us out who were lost, and to drink the cup of wrath that we were scheduled to drink. So Jesus meant to die. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. So, number three, Jesus meant to die. He died to give eternal life to all his followers. So, number three, follow him. Have eternal life. Jesus rose from the dead. He came here to do it. He did it. He died. He rose. He accomplished what he wanted to accomplish so that his people could have eternal life. So it's there for you. Follow him. Have eternal life. Summary for you. Summary of what we've talked about. Christianity is around today because Jesus rose from the dead. It's the only explanation. Me personally, John, not the pastor, not someone preaching, that's why I'm confident. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, none of these guys would have, all the 11 disciples that survived, okay, Judas hung himself. Of the 11 that survived, 10 of them died martyrs' deaths. John was the only one who didn't. But 10 of them died proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead. That just doesn't happen unless they actually saw him. So Christianity is around today because Jesus rose from the dead. Its existence apart from this holds no weight. Next, so you have faith in Jesus and be confident in your faith. This wasn't the message of 11 disciples And so women who really liked Jesus, just giving a message about someone they liked. This was people saying Jesus rose from the dead and dying for it. That's a whole different level. So have faith in Jesus and be confident in your faith. The faith of Christianity would not have made it to AD 31 unless Jesus rose from the dead. So, next line for you. The Christian faith is not, and having faith in Jesus is not living in fantasy. It's not living in fantasy. Rather, it's being reasonable with the facts of history. The reason that Christianity is around is because it makes sense of what happened in history, and nothing puts this together like the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. So Christianity is not living in fantasy. Non-believers will try to tell you that. Hold on, don't put your stuff away yet. Christianity is not living in fantasy. Non-believers will try to tell you that. But they haven't logically put together why Christianity is around today. Not only did the 10 disciples die and others like Stephen in the first century saying, "Do with me what you want, I saw Jesus." But people have died for the faith all through the centuries. So worship Christ, the risen King.